Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Friday. You heard from her this past Monday, and we are back with Molly Grisham, and she is going to help us find out how we can tactically find the light bulb switch, the light switch to lead to the light bulb moments that she is just phenomenal at facilitating for folks. Molly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So we ended the Monday's conversation, we ended it on light bulb moments. And I wanted to take the opportunity to get more granular. I wanted to really delve in. You know, there are so many opportunities that I think people miss because the light's not on, right? Mm-hmm. Opportunities, especially here in 2020, you look at all the opportunities that have probably come by people, but they've been so shut down. They haven't shown up available to see the light bulb come on, or they haven't been available to find the light switch to turn on the light bulb moment. Give us the action steps. What is it? What do you do to help folks facilitate those light bulb moments?
Yeah. So there certainly are a lot of approaches that people take. I think for me, I find incredible value in doing interpersonal work in the context of a community. And so we all have the opportunity to kind of leave our group, leave our team, leave the people that we're leading and go off on our own and do this work, get better as a leader, and then come back to the group. I have found it is much more powerful when we stay as a group and do that work together. So it isn't just the leader is going to go off and have their own light bulb moments, but everybody else in the group has that opportunity as well, because there is power in not just having your own light bulb moment, but there is power in witnessing someone else having their light bulb moment. And so I'm thinking of one particular corporate group that had a guy, he was difficult. He was just, and yet he had this light bulb moment about himself in the context of the group that he was working with. And it didn't just change him, but it changed everybody in the group because they witnessed that moment. We watched like his body language change. We watched his language change. All of a sudden it was like, oh shoot, I got it. And so there's so much power for us as a group to be a part of someone else's process. So I often talk about doing this interpersonal work in the context of a community, and it's a lot like holding up a mirror for someone else. So a lot of times as leaders, we come in and we think, I got to be better. What do I got to do? How do I got to grow? Like, it's all about us. And if you imagine that if you and I came to some sort of group process and I was able to set my ego down long enough to think, how can I help Zach be better today? And all of those answers are in you. What I get to do is just hold up a mirror for you where you're seeing it from a different perspective. Are we holding up really close? Because we see things differently when the mirror's really close. Am I holding it at a different angle? I mean, I think about it like a lot like a photograph. Sometimes I see a photo of me from an angle and I think, is that really what my chin looks like? Is that really what my ears look like? But we don't always see things from different angles. And so when we do this interpersonal work in the context of a community, we get to see that mirror differently, but we also have the opportunity to hold that up for other people. And that is transformative power. When a group shows up and says, we don't know what's going to unfold today, but we're here for this process. We're here for each other. We're here to hold up mirrors for each other. It's incredibly transformative work.
And I absolutely love that context. I think that's the first time somebody's talked about having a group light bulb moment like that, or a group. I see it as like a bonding experience, right? It creates a different level of, especially with that tough one. There's always that one really tough one. And all of a sudden it changes. It'll help change the perception of the group toward that person, that person's perception toward the group. It literally creates a different bond among the team.
Yeah, I can give you a really good example of that. I was working with a team that had a player that the team had decided all of our problems are her, which teams often do. Like, who do we put this on? They had put it on her. I knew there was more to the story. I knew that this player was going through some really hard stuff in her personal life, but she's a very private person, hadn't shared that with her teammates. And I had been warned by the team. I was brought in to do a session with them, and the team just kept saying to me, "Ooh, Molly, tomorrow it's all coming out. Everything that needs to be said. Yep, so glad you're here to manage this. It's all." I thought, "Oh, geez, what? How can I do this in a way that we have the process we need to have without destroying this person?" Because I knew stuff that the group didn't know. So I have this tool that's a bunch of foam body parts. So it's like an eyeball and a nose and some ears and a hand and a foot. And I put them in the middle of the circle. And I said, "I just want you to each think about these different body parts as a metaphor. And your question is, what do you need more of right now?" And so again, you can go any direction you want with these body part metaphors, but is it, I need more of my eyes because I need to see things differently? Is it, I need more of my ears because I need to hear things differently? I need more of the heart because I'm not feeling a lot of empathy and I need to do that. So I gave them all these examples for all these body parts. And so the group is, the body language is negative, arms are crossed. People are like, ugh, all tense. I can just feel it. And this one player was the first one to speak. And she said, "I need a hand." And then proceeded to share everything that had happened in her life in the last 2 weeks, which had included two deaths that were very close to her. And no one knew that. And I just watch everybody just melts because they didn't know that. And so again, I knew that, her coaches knew some of that, but her team didn't know that. And so being in a community where she could share that, it was absolutely a bonding moment. It changed everything about how they saw her, but it changed her as well, because now she was literally asking for the one thing she needed. "I need a hand. I need you guys to reach out to me." And so we unpacked a little bit, like, what does a hand mean? Does it mean a high five? Does it mean a hug? Does it mean I've got my hand on your back and I'm holding you up? Does it mean I'm helping to push you forward? Like, I'm literally coming along and my arm is on, like, what does that look like? And so it gave us the opportunity to put language to something that the team didn't have language for. If I had just sat down and said, "I can tell that there's tension, what's going on?" we would never have got there. But again, it was an experiential tool that created this light bulb moment that led to this player getting what she needed in the context of her team, her community, which is the people that she loves and cares about the most.
And I think that is the best example you've given about an experiential process, right? Having that, because so many people are visual, and then you have like every type of learning experience within that one. That's like goosebumps. I got the goosies, right? Sorry, I watched too much World of Dance. I got the goosies. Thanks, J-Lo. But no, I absolutely love that, because that's, I think we've all probably had those experiences and not had the context to realize what was happening.
Right.
And I think that's so powerful to see, how you facilitated it. Yeah. It was a group light bulb moment, but I think beyond that, it sometimes takes the power of an external person, an external force, an external coach to create a climate and a culture of trust and safety. Yeah. For her to share that, there obviously had to be a level of trust, a level of safety within that situation that, one, she probably didn't feel beforehand, otherwise she would have shared it prior. And two, you were able to create that climate. And that's just something I think you can't really put words around without experiencing something like that. Like that, that's so powerful that you're able to do that within that group.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that particular example was a team that I've been with for a long time. And so I think that reminds me that as leaders, we have to have a commitment to ongoing development of ourselves and ongoing development of others. And so sometimes I'll have a team, a company, an organization that reaches out and says, like, we're required to do 3 hours of development. Can you just come in so we can check that box? Well, yes. And it's not going to do much. It's got to be that commitment, that desire that we're constantly thinking about, how can I be better? How can I grow? how can I have these light bulb moments? Because once you get a taste of that, you want that. You're seeking that on a regular basis. And so I think some of the best leaders I work with are the ones that make that a part of their culture, that we're going to seek out these moments to grow and develop rather than build fear where every time we make a mistake, it's failure. The best leaders I work with say every time we make a mistake, it's an opportunity for us to grow and to be better. And so this growth process includes a lot of people who misspeak and who don't do it right and who are inarticulate, all that stuff that feels like failure. But when we do it on a regular basis, it just becomes a part of our culture. This is who we are. We're going to continue to learn and grow on a regular basis.
Would you say that'd be one of, and I usually ask this during our Monday episodes, but it really brings to light a level of leadership blind spots, mm-hmm. right? And I love talking about blind spots. Would you say that's kind of one of those that you have seen quite a bit with folks that don't want to continue that level of development? And that's a blind spot for a leader?
Yeah. And again, it comes back to that idea of practicing our leadership skills. If we're going to make it a sport analogy, how many free throws do they need to shoot before they're really good at it? Thousands and thousands and thousands.
All of them.
Right. So if we want them to be great communicators or we want them to overcome adversity, how many situations do we have to put them in to practice that? It's over and over and over again. And so I think a lot of times leaders think, yep, I got it. We're good. What's next? What's next? What's next? And that's that double-edged sword of being a high performer, that we do want to think about what's next, but we've got to allocate space, time, resources, experiences where people can practice this stuff so that it does become something that they're really good at.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it needs to not be one of those check the block annual training type of things, because that's where talking about creating climate and creating a culture, if that's how you're going to treat that type of experience, it's once a year. All right, cool. We have a 1 week. Yep. Check the block. That 4 hours is taught like the military does, like the police world does. Like, it's just a check the block metric. You lose again. There's the science, but where's the art, right? The practice of it all.
Right. And I think that the context that our people are in is always changing. And so we've got to go back and continue to practice these things, because who they were a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago is not the same. The context that they're in is not the same. The people that they're leading is not the same. So let's continually set those people up for success.
That's so amazing. And I appreciate you sharing those tactics. I think it's phenomenal. Remind the audience, where can they find a lot of this content that you're putting out, your blog, all the videos and the resources, and how can they best reach you?
Yeah. Best place to find me is mollygrisham.com. That's my website. It's kind of my hub. They can find my blogs that have extended thoughts. They can find my YouTube channel, which has those 1 to 2 minute light bulb moment videos, links to my social media that has my micro content, and then events that I have coming up as well. I think one of the things that COVID has done for me is forced me to create online experiences, which has been incredibly powerful, because now I have individuals showing up online as strangers from all over the country who are having these shared experiences together. And it's been incredibly powerful to take the work that I do face-to-face, recreate these digital tools, and allow people to still have those connections online. And I think right now, that's the thing people are so hungry for. They want connection. They want to be seen. They want to be known. And so to be able to offer some of that online has been super rewarding for me. So if there are events or programming that I have coming up that people are interested in, they can certainly reach me on the website.
I absolutely encourage that. I was actually just going to bring up, because we didn't mention the online experiences on Monday, but you have several, and one that obviously is quite catchy, the quarantine experience, yeah, which I think is just perfect for honestly what we're experiencing right now in this more virtual world. So I definitely encourage the audience, reach out, look at those experiences coming up, because it's going to be phenomenal. I'm super excited to see what that looks like, and obviously ingest as much content as you possibly can coming from Molly. And Molly, I want to thank you again for your time and for all the wisdom you brought to the audience.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for the work that you're doing. You're putting out some great stuff, and I appreciate the chance to come alongside you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue, and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit nightprotectionllc.com.